You're listening to Law and Gospel on this June the 21st in the year of our Lord 2017. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. I'm all by myself today. Yesterday we had Mark Smith. Tomorrow we're going to have Wes Reimnitz. But what we're going to be talking about, it's an Insight Wednesday. What do we do on Insight Wednesday? We kind of dig deeper into the scriptures where we will be talking about things that are from a more theological point of view that you may never have even considered before. You know, politics is very similar to religion and vice versa. What do I mean by that? For example, yesterday, it seemed like the Republicans sweeped a number of state elections. And then after they had done that, I kind of turned to other stations, and it was really quite amazing to hear the interpretation of those who were against the Republicans. Fortunately, many of those things that were not true were dealt with today on the radio. We here at KFUO, we don't get into politics, so if you're a Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter to me. But even in politics, if you allow a lie to stand, it's your fault. The early church did not allow the lies of Jesus to stand. That's why we have what's called the Ecumenical Creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. What are these creeds? They are biblical statements that overcome the false teaching of that day. And that's kind of what Insight Wednesday is all about. We're going to deal with something a lot of people really haven't thought about in the way that we're going to talk about it today. But it will change your understanding of the Reformation if you have the wrong view. For example, here's the question we're going to deal with today. How does an individual get God to be right with them? In other words, we're asking a very simple question here. How do you get God to be reconciled to you? Now, many people think that the Reformation was all about that you cannot get God to be reconciled to you by your works. And, of course, I really agree with that. Because according to the Bible, you can't even do a spiritual good work, which is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit, until after you have been totally saved. So good works cannot get God to be reconciled to you. But how do you get God to be reconciled to you? Every religion in the world has this goal. Because by nature, people come to an understanding that God appears to be angry with us occasionally. You're a farmer. One year, you have a bountiful crop, and you thank God for taking care of you. The next year, your bountiful crop is destroyed by hail. Oh, I must have done something wrong. How do you attempt to reconcile to other people where you have irreconcilable differences? You attempt to do so by making them like you, by maybe giving them a gift, by showing them that, you know, I'm really not as bad as you think I am. In other words, you end up discussing with people, or you attempt to get them to be reconciled to you because you're nicer to them. It is impossible for an unbeliever to become nice to God, because to become nice to God, God just doesn't look at your works. He looks at your motivation. There are many, many unbelievers in the world who do wonderful good works every day. They help feed the hungry and maybe bring homes to the homeless and clothing to those who need it. But all of that is sin from God's point of view, because it is always done out of self-interest by the unbeliever. For the unbeliever has no proper motivation to do what is necessary. So what we have is a situation here, and a lot of people think, you know, How do you get God to be reconciled to you? Well, they think that the Reformation went against the idea of your good works. No, your obedience did not get God to be reconciled to you. In fact, I can even prove it from the Ten Commandments. What? Were not the commandments written so that we would know what to do in order to get God reconciled to us? Well, let me just read a portion of it. Exodus 20, God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Did you hear that? The commandment cannot possibly be used to make God your God because he already is your God. That's what he says. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. What does God say to us today? Because we're not in slavery in Egypt. I am the Lord your God who died on the cross for your sins and was raised for your justification. Note very clearly that in Exodus 20, the commandments follow after God has made himself our God. So they can't possibly be used. It's kind of having an orphan, and you go up and you're talking to the orphan, and the orphan says, boy, I'd sure like to be a member of the family. And you say, no problem, just get adopted. Well, guess what? Orphans can't get adopted. They may be adopted by someone, but it's not because of something they contribute or cooperate in their adoption. And that's the same with becoming a believer. You do not become a believer by your works. God elects believers. And the big question that is really at the basis, in my opinion, of all theological questioning is, why are some saved and others aren't? There is no answer in the Bible. There is an answer from God, and you won't know it till you get to heaven. And when you do find it out, you're going to probably slap yourself in the head and say, boy, why didn't I think of that? But particularly Lutherans are one of the few that refuse to answer that question. Why God chooses some. Every religion in the world has an answer. He chooses those who obey him. So, how do you get God to be reconciled to you? It cannot be through obedience. Then what is it through? I guarantee you, if at one of my seminars I'm talking to a group of even Lutherans, I'll say something like this. Okay, we all know we cannot get God to be reconciled to us by our works. Who here would disagree that God is reconciled when we have faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior? And I'll tell you, hardly any hands go up because people think that through faith, we get God to be reconciled to us. But that is a big problem. Why? Well, what we're saying, therefore, is God is not reconciled to unbelievers. He's only reconciled to believers. And somebody will say, well, of course, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because how can God be reconciled to somebody who thinks that God is their enemy? See, this is why Christianity doesn't make any sense at all. It is totally against reason. And until you begin to understand how Christianity is against reason, you're going to hear people trying to use reason to explain the Christian faith. And it's simply impossible. Human reason is helpful in understanding the Bible using the principle of Scripture interprets Scripture, but it is impossible to bring out what the Bible has to say to an unbeliever where the unbeliever will say, oh, I now understand that. No, the unbeliever will never understand it because the Bible goes against human reason. What do I mean by that? Human reason is based on your experience. That's why every other religion in the world invents a God that they wish they were like, but are unable to become like that because of their sin. Human reason never has, from their imagination, come up with the true God. The true God, first of all, is the Trinity, and you can't find that anywhere in your experience. The true God also became a human being, and that doesn't make sense at all. The true God, this is God, died on a cross. Well, that doesn't make sense. God can't die. I mean, how long do you want me to keep on going down the creeds or theology of any sort until you come to the realization that what we as Christians attempt to get across to other people makes no sense until they have faith? I was baptized when I was an infant. I never can remember a time when I was beginning to think about theology that I didn't believe in the Trinity. Because being baptized, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and therefore, when the Bible says there's a Trinity, well, there's a Trinity. I've talked about this bumper sticker I don't like at all. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's heresy. God couldn't care whether or not you believe it in the sense as to whether or not he's going to fulfill his promise. What the bumper sticker should say is, God said it, that settles it. Like, God says, I'm going to be coming back on Judgment Day. And then Gabriel notifies God that there's somebody in South America who doesn't believe that. And so God says, oh, okay, then I guess we can't come. Because until he believes it, we can't fulfill our promise? Ridiculous. So what's the point I'm trying to get at? The question is an interesting one. If the world recognizes that God is divided from us because of our sin, how do we get God to be reconciled to us? You see, until you understand the true Reformation and its points, we do not substitute faith for obedience in order to get God to be reconciled to us. Now, that may sound strange to a lot of people. I can't get God to be reconciled to me when I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'll tell you why you can't get God to be reconciled to you, either by obedience or by your faith. It's very simple. Why are you working at getting somebody reconciled to you when they're already reconciled to you? It's kind of like having an argument with one of your friends, and you do something wrong against them, and boy, you're under the impression that they don't like you anymore. So you buy them a present and you're taking it to them, and one of your other friends says, oh no, he understood why you said he forgives you. He's already reconciled to you. Would you still go and give him a present in order to get him reconciled? No, he's already reconciled. No, whoa, 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 whoa. How can God be reconciled to unbelievers if they don't have any faith? Very simple. The reconciliation of God to the world is not on the basis of the attitude of anybody in the world. It's rather on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done. Oh, really? Well, you'll have to give me a background for that. Remember, I often say, if I ever say something on the radio you disagree with, phone me up. And if I don't have a Bible verse, change the station, because I'm a false teacher. We Christians need to be ready to defend the Bible on the basis of the Bible, not on the basis of reason. So where in the Bible does it say that God is already reconciled to us before we come to faith? Well, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. Okay, we'll agree with this. But listen to verse 18 and following. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Wow. Did you hear that? That God is reconciled to you because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, it goes on in verse 19. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of a reconciliation. You see, in every other religion in the world, the problem is always God. He doesn't want to be reconciled to me because I'm such a sinner. And unfortunately, there are even some Christians who believe that. And therefore, they have to figure a way in which they can get God to be reconciled to them. It's really sad. Because he's already reconciled to the world. In fact, that's what the verse goes on to say in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ. Now listen to this next phrase. Be reconciled to God. You see, if a religion thinks that God is the problem, that people really want to be reconciled to him, but he won't want to be reconciled to them because of their sinful condition, then you got to invent a religion whereby you can change God's attitude towards you. Because God is the problem. And how many times have we heard that every religion outside of Christianity is there to placate an angry God? They know God is angry, at least looking at their experience, because bad things happen to them. And so, just like in a family, if your father says, "Oh, Saturday we're going to McDonald's," and so you wait Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, you get up Saturday morning, "Are we going to McDonald's?" "No." "Why?" "You didn't make your bed. You didn't cut the lawn. You didn't wash the car. You didn't do the dishes." See, we just learn that a person will not be reconciled to us if we don't do what is necessary to keep that relationship intact. But Christianity is totally different. What difference does it make to realize that there is nothing you can do to get God to be reconciled to you? Neither your works nor your faith do it, for a very simple reason. Because God is already reconciled to the world because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, I'll give you the example in missions, how even a lot of Christians get this mixed up. Somebody may say to a Christian, "Boy, I would love to have my sins forgiven. How can I have that assurance that you have?" And a Christian will look at them and say, "Well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven." Did you hear that? There's an if. See, it's not by grace. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or your sins will not be forgiven. That's not Christianity. Instead, if somebody would ask me, "What do I have to do to get my sins forgiven?" I would look at them and say, "Your sins have already been forgiven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." When Jesus died on the cross, he forgave the sins of the entire world, not just the elect, not just the believers. Then why is faith important? Faith does not create the forgiveness of sins for me. That's already a gift that God wants to give me. What faith does is receive the gift. It's kind of like it's your birthday. And there's a knock at the door and you look out and it's your parents and they got a big box that they want to give you for your birthday. But you don't like your parents, so you don't answer the door. Did your parents have a gift for you? Yes. Was it free? Yes. Was it yours? Yes. Did you ever receive it? No. Because of your attitude towards your parents. Similarly, people who go to hell are not individuals who did not have their sins forgiven at the cross of Christ, but they refuse to receive the gift. They prefer to pay for their own sins. And that's why we're justified by grace through faith. See, a lot of people get that mixed up. They say we're justified through grace by faith. And that's just dead wrong. No. It is not faith that justifies us. It is the grace of God. And we receive that justification by trusting the promises of Jesus Christ. The task of the church, therefore, is totally different than the task of any other religion in the world. We don't have to tell people, well, you better do this or that or think that or say this or that in order to get God reconciled to you. Or we don't even say, well, God is not reconciled to you until you have faith. No. We are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to verse 20. God making his appeal through us. And it doesn't say we implore God to be reconciled to us. It says we implore you on behalf of Christ be reconciled to God. The task of the Christian church is really simple. It's to proclaim the gospel. And what's the gospel? The gospel are the promises connected to the death, resurrection, sufferings, ascension of Jesus Christ. And primarily, it is that God is the source of your salvation. He alone gets credit for you being saved. So therefore, Lutherans are wrong when you ask them the question, well, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And they say, oh, yeah, because I believe. No. It's true that you may believe. It's true you may be going to heaven. But don't give the credit to your faith. And I'll tell you why that is dangerous. What happens when you have weak faith? You begin to doubt. The devil can really get you. Oh, you wouldn't be sinning like that if you had the faith that saves. And people just don't recognize that. And so this is why we're saying again and again, the way to come to faith is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't get God to be reconciled to you. He already is reconciled to you. You can't find that in any other religion in the entire world. It's found nowhere. And why is it found nowhere? Because the imagination of man can never conclude a religious teaching that is equivalent to the Bible, because the Bible is against common sense. It's against reason. You have to have created within you a new heart, a clean spirit, in order to understand what is so impossible to us from a human point of view. So what was today's insight? God is reconciled to you, certainly not on the basis of your works, but also certainly not on the basis of your faith. Through faith, you become reconciled to God, not vice versa. And so we pray you'll take that to heart, to mind, and listen to sermons carefully, because I think even there are pastors who don't recognize this gospel teaching that to tell someone to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to have their sins forgiven is actually heresy, because their sins have already been forgiven. Remember the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be with our good friend, Reverend Wes Reimnitz. And if you've got a question on what I said today, email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com, and I'll be glad to reply, maybe tomorrow, with Wes Reimnitz. Till tomorrow, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.